What makes a great toy? The National Toy Hall of Fame has been answering that question for years now, and you can too. Call in with your favorite toy of all time at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
The Toy Hall of Fame announced three new inductees earlier today, and here to share them is Chris Bench. He's Vice President for Collections at the Strong Museum in Rochester, New York. The museum includes the National Toy Hall of Fame and the International Center for the History of Electronic Games. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Well, so before we get to the good news of the three new inductees, Chris, what makes a great toy worthy of the Hall of Fame?
Well, first of all, these are toys that have staying power. They've got longevity. To qualify for the National Toy Hall of Fame, a toy has to have been on the market for at least 20 years so that kids and their parents could have both grown up playing it. And second, these are toys that are iconic. Everybody can recognize them. Whether you played with them or not, you can probably tell a Barbie from a hula hoop from a Lego brick. And finally, these are toys that encourage learning, creativity, and discovery. They're the ones that have the best qualities of play about them, not the ones that you press a button, it does its little shtick, and 5 minutes later, you're playing with the box that it came in.
And we'll invite our listeners to share the toys that met that description for them. Your favorite toy, your memorable toy of all time. Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Well, Chris, let's end the suspense here and start getting to some of the inductees. The Rubik's Cube made it this year.
It did. It was a five-time previous finalist for the National Toy Hall of Fame, and I was starting to think that it was going to turn out to be the Susan Lucci of the toy world, always snubbed for her Emmy. Well, the Rubik's Cube finally made it in this year, its sixth try, and beautifully on the 40th anniversary of its invention.
And it's sort of amazing how long, you know, the legacy of Rubik's Cube has lasted. People are still solving it in new and amazing ways.
They are, and for the occasion, we assembled a Rubik's Cube mosaic depicting a Rubik's Cube composed entirely of dozens of Rubik's Cubes. So you don't just have to solve the cube, you can use it as artwork, too.
And then another inductee, and this is a toy that was all over when I was a kid. I don't know if they still are. I took it for granted. The Little Green Army Men. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of those little plastic, inflexible dudes?
Well, they've been around since the 1930s, and they grew out of metal toy soldiers before that. But the beauty of Little Green Army Men has always been that you buy them by the bagful, the binful. They're so inexpensive. You can have an entire battalion, an amazing engagement that you set up on the living room carpet, in the sandbox, in the backyard, and they are, frankly, cannon fodder. They're expendable. So if you lose one, it's not a disaster, and you can go add to your group tomorrow.
And then the third inductee, this is a great one. I wouldn't have thought, you know, that it was a toy, but I guess it's a staple of childhood for sure. Bubbles.
Bubble Solution is something that we consider a staple of every drugstore or mass market discount store, and they have been around for more than 400 years. I want to wish I could have met the first kid who was having a bath and those soap suds said not just getting clean, but the opportunity for fun.
And they come, like, it's not like there's a patent on bubbles, right? There are zillions of makes and models, and some that are sadistic, and the little wands that are not the right shape or size, you can't make a bubble happen. They could be frustrating, but usually they're a lot of fun.
They are, and I think that's a key developmental phase for kids to be able to blow just hard enough that they expand that bubble and don't just splatter soap suds everywhere.
Well, we've got some callers on the line who want to share their favorite toys. We have Amanda joining us in De Pere. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
What is your vote for favorite toy?
I remember playing with Lincoln Logs at my grandparents. My dad played with them. My grandparents played with them. They're just that kind of novelty toy that a lot of kids have played with.
That's a great one. Yeah, I've got a set of those sitting in my basement right now. The kids are not currently in the Lincoln Log phase, but they seem to be sort of an evergreen toy, don't they?
Yeah.
They have been around, and they're in the Hall of Fame. They were inducted in 1999.
And Chris, a lot of times, as I look through the list of things on the Toy Hall of Fame, it's not the fancy stuff, the shiny stuff, but a lot of simple things that are flexible that you can kind of do what you want with them that really seem to make a lot of the classic toys what they are.
That's right. That kind of open-ended play that isn't reliant on necessarily batteries or a character's backstory. You bring so much to it, and it expands who you are.
We have a comment here on Facebook from Jen who writes, "My original issue Cabbage Patch Kid is her vote for Toy Hall of Fame. I got her the year everyone was fighting over them. I bawled when I opened her. Christmas 84 was the best Christmas ever," she says, "thanks to the Cabbage Patch Kid." Are they in there?
They are not. Cabbage Patch Kids have been finalists on a number of occasions, and I'm confident for the impact they've had not only on individual lives, but the whole sort of cultural dynamic that there could be a cute, ugly, appealing doll that was different from anything that came before it, and it will earn a place eventually, I'm sure.
Well, I wonder, Chris, is that one that stands the test of the time, really? Because it was a huge fad. I remember even, you know, as a teen then, I didn't have my own Cabbage Patch, but I remember all the news stories about stores getting cleaned out 2 minutes after they open. But Cabbage Patch, nobody today is like hankering for a Cabbage Patch Kid, except maybe the kids nostalgic for the ones they had in the 80s.
Well, they may not be the craze that they once were, but they've shown that they can stick around, they can endure, you can still find them on shelves today. And funny how some of these things have resurgences. Often we see toys making a return as parents say, "Oh, I grew up with that item. My kid will turn out great like I did if only they have a blank radio flyer wagon, Cabbage Patch doll," and they have a sort of 25-year cycle often.
What are some of the nominees that didn't make it in this year?
Sadly, American Girl Dolls, Fisher-Price Little People, My Little Pony, they were also Rans this year.
So if a toy doesn't make it in, do they get another shot in subsequent years?
Absolutely. This is not three strikes and you're out, or you have a limited window that you are eligible. Those same toys could be back next year or the year after that. So they've got another chance at the big prize.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Gail with us in Prairie du Chien. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I was wondering if the Breyer horse statues are in there, because I know I've had the same ones that I got over 50 years ago for a Christmas present.
What is the Breyer horse statue?
Breyer horses are not yet in the National Toy Hall of Fame, and I have lobbied for them personally, having grown up with a sister who went through an intense horse phase and actually grew up to become a veterinarian.
You're stumping me here, Chris. Is this a plastic horse toy, or is it something the rocking thing you ride on?
It's a plastic horse toy. It's about usually 8 to 10 inches tall. Sometimes they're famous horses like Misty of Chincoteague from that famous children's book, but others are just horses that allow you to have your own riding ranch on the bedroom floor.
I may have had those. I had a whole big horse collection when I was a kid, but I don't know if they were Breyer horses or not, but it's nice to see horses represented.
Yeah, I think I might have been in a parallel universe. I don't remember those. We've got a picture on our screen here, which doesn't help anybody listening, but okay. I guess I've seen this before.
Plastic horses. Okay, let's go to Karen next. Karen joins us in Viroqua. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Hi, what do you vote for Toy Hall of Fame?
I vote for the original Mr. Potato Head, the interactive one, the one that every time was a little different because you used a real potato.
Oh, okay, yeah. As I understand it, and this may be from you on a past show on our morning show, Chris, the original Mr. Potato Head, you had the pieces and you plugged them into actual potatoes, right?
That is right, and that was not so savory when those potatoes got punctured and left under the kid's bed. And
you can't throw him away, Mom. I love him.
Well, I didn't know that there were any real Mr. Potato Heads. I loved my Mr. Potato Head, but it was the plastic kind. Yeah, definitely
That's
fun
what
toy.
I had too. Yeah.
Are they in the Hall of Fame in any iteration?
They are in the Hall of Fame, both in the plastic and the potato version.
Nice.
We heard from Barb writing on Facebook. She says, "I loved Spirograph, but I could never make my designs as good as the ones in the box. I had the same frustration." Is that another important developmental phase, Chris?
That is, and I have experienced that myself, cranking them around and just can't get it smooth enough to get that incredibly complex geometric shape going.
Chris, are there any newer toys that are on the cusp of being inducted?
You know, there are people who are advocating that the iPhone is the ultimate plaything of our time for kids and adults alike. So maybe it is on the verge of entering into the National Toy Hall of Fame another year.
As we play on gadgets more and more, are the classics losing steam, or is there still room for rubber balls, which I think got inducted a couple years ago, and Legos and Lincoln Logs?
I like to think that kids will always have a mix of electronic and non-electronic playthings. I think most kids view it as a whole play universe and don't necessarily segregate or stop, okay, I've had enough of this physical play. It's time for me to sit down with my little shiny screen. It's all part of a continuum. And I hope for kids' health that we always have that kind of blend, including toys, electronic play, and outdoor play in the mix of growing up.
And Chris, you obviously know from toys. So what is your favorite toy of all time?
As a kid, I loved my toy cars best of all. So I was a Matchbox guy. I was a little old for when Hot Wheels came out, but I had a few too because they were faster than anything I had ever seen before.
Great. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about the new inductees.
Pleasure being with you.
That was Chris Bench with the National Toy Hall of Fame telling us about the three new members of that club.
You can keep sharing your favorite toys on the Central Time Facebook page. I remember the G.I. Joe, the smaller guys, the later models when I was a kid, and Legos, and often I would combine the two.
Aha. Uh-huh. Little mashup toy thing there.
Yeah, did you have a favorite? And of course, Legos came back with my kids, too, and I got to play with them.
I loved my Star Wars figures.
Yeah, except they didn't bend at the knees and elbows. They had a disadvantage against G.I. Joe, right?
If I hadn't mashed them up, though, they'd be worth so much money now. Oh, that's my big regret.